Welcome. Thanks for joining me. I used to think about enlightenment. I used to think of it as some faraway, distant land that was just filled with all this exotic wonder. I've come to understand that it's not any further away than the tip of your nose. I really feel like a citizen of the planet in this incarnated experience. All the divisions and ways we divide ourselves up with our borders and our different cultures and all the ways the planet is divided up by humanity. We cling to those things as though they're very real, when actually they're just for our convenience, just in order to be able to put things in some sort of sense of order for our thinking mind, our experience. In actuality, there is no division. There's not two. There's not this, that. And enlightenment isn't some exotic place that you get to. That may sound boring, because we certainly like our excitement. So maybe I shouldn't be telling you that, because that exotic land off in the distance is something worth going to, right? But what if that exotic land is right here? After all, everything that we experience, isn't it just our projection? Our seeing things the way we see things? As an individual, as a person of a particular culture or group, whatever we identify with, these are the things that we call our delusions, our projections. But again, I just want to refer to them as expedient ways of defining or trying to put into categories what it is we experience. Now, is there a great deal of suffering in the world? Yes, there is. And that's why the whole pursuit of understanding, enlightenment, waking up. What is this? Why is it like this? All of that has to happen. We have to ask that question for ourselves. What is this? What is suffering? What is its root? Where does it come from? Why is it like this? So our original nature is undefiled. And is perfection itself. There's an equanimity. There's a peace and a joy that comes from this understanding of not to. So Buddha taught that suffering comes from ignorance, greed, and anger, the poisons. So how do we resolve this? Again, coming back to Buddha, taught these expedient means on how to approach our lives that gives it more meaning, less suffering, and less trouble for ourselves and for those around us. So, if enlightenment isn't any further than the tip of our nose, that means the problems of the world are no further than the tip of our nose, too. Ignorance, greed, and anger is no further away than right here. Just being all that you can be is not attempting to be someone else or something else or go somewhere else. It's coming to terms with who you are right here, right now, just the way you are. And that's a beautiful thing. That's not something to be avoided. Do we make mistakes? Do we create suffering for ourselves and those around us? Of course. We have to solve the fundamental problem, which is our identification with what we think is real that isn't. If we look at another and we see an enemy, that's delusion. You may say, but he's my enemy. How can you say that's delusion? He's out to hurt me. It's clear as can be. Intuition, wisdom, what Buddha referred to as correct action, correct thinking, correct livelihood, this eightfold path, these all come from a deeper understanding of what this is. Wisdom mind, not projecting mind, not projecting from this identification with eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind, the way we project it onto our surroundings and ourselves. One of the big things about Buddhism is taking responsibility, right? So what does that mean? Can we really blame someone else for what's happening? Well, sure. You can say, hey, it's not my fault. You know, the world is the way it is. I didn't create it that way. The only thing you can control is how you deal with it. And if that comes from wisdom mind as opposed to deluded mind, then the effect you're having in your life and everyone else who you touch is totally different. I have no answers, really. I have no way of knowing what is correct other than my experience and just dealing with my own karmic creations and illusions and delusions and things that I've created in order to have my life travel in a certain way. But wisdom mind is kind of like getting a peek from the mountaintop and looking and seeing how things are unfolding. It's like as we grow up, you know, we recognize that this leads to that. We have experience. So, okay, if I act this way, it's going to lead to this consequence. This is experience. At some point, we may want to blame our parents. You know? We want to blame our job. We want to blame the government. We want to blame whatever. But if you keep coming back to, well, okay, what's my part in this? How am I doing? What can I do? And if your mind is clear like space, then the effect you have is a whole lot different than if the clouds that are passing through become solid for you and you think those are real. It really is one world. We really are all brothers and sisters. In actuality, there is just one mind, but we don't know that. So we stumble along and we create the messes that we do until we wake up. Remember that we call this the Bodhisattva path, and a Bodhisattva doesn't abide in the idea of a being, a person, a thing. They don't attach to it. As long as you have I, me, and mine, there you go. That's that wheel you keep being on over and over and over again. Enlightenment, getting back to that, I don't think at this point in my experience is something exotic. I think it's quite ordinary. If you look at the stories of enlightenment over a period of time, like just look at some of the Zen stories, and You hear this exchange between a teacher and a student. And when the person gets enlightened, do the skies open up? Does he float away? Does he, you know, create miracles? He gets up and walks away. Thank you very much. What is that? What is that? Thank you very much. Bye. See you later. He's enlightened and that's all? That's all to it? That's all there is to it? Hello? Goodbye? Thank you very much. We build things up because we like stories. Buddha taught with stories. A lot of the expedient means, you know, all the directions you have to go to get to somewhere. But ultimately, it's just at the tip of your nose. So sit like your hair is on fire. Wake up to your original nature. Don't worry. Another quick thing about suffering. From my personal experience, if I get depressed because of the suffering, there's nothing I can contribute. If I understand the nature of suffering and take responsibility for my own view of how I see things, then I'm doing something, you see. I mean, complaining that the world is screwed up, fine, it is in so many ways. It's also a very beautiful place. It's just a matter of perspective, actually. Enlightenment cannot happen without the poisons. It's only in this world that enlightenment happens. Doesn't happen in the heaven world. Doesn't happen where everything is perfect. It happens here. There is something to look forward to. I'm just winging it, trying to make sense of it, just like everybody else. But I take some comfort in the fact that it's just tip of my nose. Don't have to go climb a mountain to get there. But that's okay too. I like mountains. So thank you for joining me today. Thank you again. Have a wonderful day.